A few announcements. As always, you can sign your red pad and pass it down, name, address, that type of information. Remind you that we hold our elements and take together in communion. And our sympathy and prayers go out to B.J. Morrison, our passing of her sister-in-law, Emma, who passed on Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. And that served as not any visitation, but that service is tomorrow for family at Graveside. Our session will meet Wednesday, June the 8th. Deacons will meet Sunday, June the 12th. Family Fun Night. The Women's Association is hosting a Family Fun Night, which includes dinner, entertainment, and a Chinese auction on Saturday, June the 11th. From 5 to 7, come join us for an evening out with family and friends. Reservations are required. You can call the church. No charge for the evening, but donations will be accepted. If interested, there's the phone number for the church before June the 6th. And they're going to have Chinese auctions. We need some people to make some baskets, and you can contact Kathy Segi. And we also would like to have some children's baskets for it. So we hope that you can come out. Lorraine, I don't know if, how many people have volunteered to help her, but we sent something out that she needs help, so you can contact her if you're able to help or would like to. Getting new hymnals, you can read about that with $30 per hymnal, and I believe there's papers that you can sign. And if you make one check out, like your tithes and the hymnals, be sure to designate that part of that is for hymnals. Valley Gardeners, you can sign up at the bank, back, and we just want to remind everyone we're no longer taking up food products for the food bank, but monetary donations, and there are also slips that you can fill out on the table in the back. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn was Children of the Heavenly Father, number 44. Worship continues with the prayer of confession, which you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending Jesus into
our world. We are grateful that you chose us for salvation. Forgive us when we allow life to beat us down. Help us to rise above discouragement. Remind us that we cannot deny the reality of our troubles. Show us how to have courage to consider alternatives when life is hard. May we always remember that we have been touched by Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silence. Prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is our gift in Jesus Christ.
Faith through our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand of God the Father.
responsive reading is a contemporary affirmation of faith, 718 Bakri Hymnals. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God, his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men,
we believe in the Holy Spirit, who is a form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of his glory.
At this time, I invite the elder and the door to come forward with prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. Not sure if this is a praise or a prayer request. This is for Kathy Kober. This is from Kathy Seggy. She's just diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It has a good cure rate, but chemo starts on the 16th. Be in prayer for successful treatment, also for the family, that they are able to work together during this difficult time. It's a prayer request from Suzanne Connors for Vince Capone and Nancy Putman. This is a friend of hers. Cancer, doing chemo, need comfort and good outcome. I also have another prayer request from Suzanne for her family member, Suzanne's father, Jack Smith. He's going into hospice care. Prayers for peace and comfort. And I'd like to personally ask for prayers for a safe trip. Mike and I are going out to the state of Washington to see his son and grandkids. Thank you.
Let us bow in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Communion Sunday in the life of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and we thank you for the opportunity to receive it together, sense of unity, and also those shut-ins that will be given communion, part of our church, part of our family, part of your family. Lord, as we go through this life, we are often faced with difficult times. Many times we are discouraged because of what has happened to us or a friend or a close relative, a child, a grandparent. But we remember, because of the scriptures, that you are always with us, never to leave us and never to forsake us. The Word of God tells us to take our prayers to the Heavenly Father in your name. So we do that today. we present these prayer requests and thank you for taking them to the Father. We don't know exactly how our prayers will be answered. As we look at the scriptures, Jesus healed some people and others were not healed. We don't know the answers as to why. But ultimately, we place our life in your hands with your wisdom, your love, believing that in the very end, everything will be revealed to us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for giving us a chance for the abundant life to rise above discouragement. And we thank you for Jesus, for his disciples, and for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross, what it means to us in our lives. We thank you that when you ascended into heaven, you sent back the Holy Spirit to empower your church, to give us gifts that we might proclaim the gospel of the good news, that you have died for our sins, that we are forgiven when we accept you, and we do have the promise of eternal life. As Pastor Glenn Shaw bowed, I thank you for the faithfulness of these people, all that they give and all that they do. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. While she's coming forward to read the scripture, I want to remind you, Reverend John White will be here to preach next Sunday. I'll be here to do the other part. So I know you want to come out and hear John. He always brings a wonderful message.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Luke 7, verse 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all of the surrounding country. Bless the reading and the hearing.
Thank you, Kathy. When you think about it, this is a very dramatic scene. A funeral procession halted, and the trip to the cemetery interrupted. Of course, it was not anything like today, with a hearse followed by maybe two or three limousines, followed perhaps by several cars to maybe 20 or 30 or 40 cars, lights on, everyone concerned that they will not lose their place in the procession line. No, this scene was at once primitive and personal. No traffic lights to contend with in this procession. No motors disturbed that they were delayed a few minutes for the funeral. No, this is a village scene, people on foot following the widowed mother who is following the professional mourners with their cymbals and flutes and high-pitched wailing and shrieking. It's a Palestinian village, just a short distance from Jesus' hometown and a day's walk from Capernaum. The pallbearers are carrying the body of a young man in a long wicker basket covered by a shroud for burial, which would take place outside the city. Ancient Jews normally buried their dead outside the city, usually on the day of death or the next day. Think about it for a moment. The dead man was the only son of the mother, who is a widow. This mother, because of society, was vulnerable, weak, and without much opportunity for economic support. A great crowd is following the procession, indicating sympathy and support for her. And Jesus approaches, apparently coming from Capernaum, where, as we talked about last week, he just healed the Roman centurion's slave. He saw the widowed, mourning mother, had compassion for her, maybe thinking at this time about his own mother and his love for her. And he goes up and he says, "Do not weep," he told her, and risking ceremonial impurity, because you're not supposed to touch any of this, especially the body, he reached out and touched the bier of bier, the casket's frame, and possibly the body, and the procession halted. Can you see this happening in a modern setting today? Someone halting the hearse, opening the door of the limousine, telling the widowed woman not to weep, and then saying, "Young man, I say to you, arise." We would be ready to be on our cell phones dialing 911. Please come. startling enough in first century Palestine, which had a tradition of miracles. Jesus was not the first to raise a widow's son. Elijah and Elisha both did it. And the young man set up and began to speak, and like Elijah and Elisha before Jesus, the new great prophet gave the son back to his mother, alive and well. Talking about rising above discouragement. Talk about overcoming life's defeats. This was it. No greater defeat than that. Jesus raising the young man from the dead. What a wonderful thing to happen. He didn't raise everybody physically from the dead. He didn't heal everybody. And he doesn't heal everyone even today. But what he did do and still does today is to help everyone rise above the discouragements that come to each of us at times in our lives. So how do we rise above discouragement? For one thing, we do not deny the reality of our situation. Biblical scholar William Barclay says, we live in a world of broken hearts. Any daily newspaper accounts tragic story and story of premature deaths and fractured relationships and broken dreams. But we do not turn to any newspaper for accounting of the world's troubles and the world's sorrows. We have only to look at our friends, our neighbors, our families, even within our own self. Jesus, the healer and power giver, never insulated or insulted people by telling them that their problems were not real. He never told the sick that they were not really sick or that their illness did not have any pain or reality to it. He didn't say, ma'am, sir, this is just in your mind. He never told people that death was not real. In the Midwest, where tornadoes are frequent, a young son had a great fear of storms, as many people do. One day when a thunderstorm and strong storm threatened, the father took his son to the window and said, look out, see all these very substantial homes, and said to the boy, there you see, everything is okay. They are solid homes. We're all safe and dry in our houses. About that time, a tornado touched down a block away and utterly destroyed several of these substantial homes. The storms of the natural world are real. Trouble and tragedy are real. Evil and death are real. Jesus never said to the disciples of the stormy Sea of Galilee, there is no storm. The storm is just in your mind. Instead, he said to the storm, peace, be still. He took control of the situation. So I ask you this morning, are you worried about your job? Are your financial resources dwindling? Do you have a serious illness? Is your marriage in trouble? Is there a real problem with the children? Are you in debt? Are you grieving? The widow never said her son wasn't dead. Admit the problems. We always have to do that. Don't deny them. That's the first step in overcoming discouragement. You have to face it. So how we rise above discouragement? We have to have courage to consider the alternatives for the situation that we find ourselves in. A man is about to lose his job due to large layoffs in his company. He has two cars, a large mortgage, kids in school and one in college, a typical American family. The tough job market is going through a really difficult time, but his company offers him an outplacement job in a different city. But the city is not appealing to him, so he turns it down. When he does that, he's faced with probable personal bankruptcy. He's greatly discouraged, but in large measure because he refused to consider alternatives that would help him. We see this over and over again. People come to a dead end in a marriage or a job or self-understanding and then refuse to consider the alternatives. They want the future to be just like the past when they felt that it was good. They're afraid of adjustment They're afraid, terrified of any change in their lives. But it was Jesus who told the sick, have faith, stand up and walk. It was Jesus who said to the blind man, do you want to see? It was Jesus who said, take up your cross and follow me. It was Jesus who said, if you have faith, you can move mountains. You want to rise above discouragement, then let go of the past and the corners that you have painted yourself into and consider the alternatives, because Christ is ready to show you a new direction, a new path that you can go down. So how do we rise above discouragement? We must allow ourselves to be touched by Christ. I mean, when I say touched, I want us to be really enveloped by Christ, not something on the fringe, but a full relationship with the Lord Jesus. By the transcendent, by the divine reality, the creator of heaven and earth, which is greater than ourselves. One of the surest ways to discouragement is to assume that all reality begins and ends with you and everything is about you. When people become discouraged, they allow their own world and self-understanding to collapse in around them. They get caught in the grip of doubt and refuse to even to question the doubts that they have in their mind. They refuse to question their own stale definitions of self and reality. In contrast to this, Jesus calls us to open up in divine prayer and humility to Him. I've often quoted Harry Emerson Fosdick, and I didn't know this until this sermon. He was the famous preacher of Riverside Church, New York. And he was called to pastor and build that big church back up, which had started dwindling. And it was controlled, really, by, and the money was the Rockefeller family and fortune. And Fosdick eventually had a nervous breakdown. It was, said Fosdick, the most terrifying wilderness I had ever traveled through. I dreadfully wanted to commit suicide, but instead made some of the most vital discoveries of my life. My little book, The Meaning of Prayer, would never have been written without that breakdown. I really found God in the desert. We're forever learning that God is for us, not against us. It is we who are often against our own selves in our myopia, just straightforward, not able to look around. Our rigidity, our fear, our arrogance, our stubbornness. Many of us, it seems, are slow learners. We refuse to allow God to touch us with any new idea, the new self-understanding, the new job, the new opportunity, the new vital power that Jesus has to give to us. It was Isaiah the prophet who put it so well. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It was the divine power who spoke to the dead young man. The power of the living Christ raises people up from discouragement, up from despondency, up from despair, and even up from death itself. The Bible and books of the world, and many church people, many of you here today, are full of stories of how God helped them and helps people rise above the discouragements of this life. And as Jesus said to the young man long ago in Nain, so he would say to each of us today, arise. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life, verses 1 and 2. Thank you.
bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for communion, the Lord's Supper, that we're able to remember you giving your life, that we might have life upon this earth, and we might have eternal life. We look forward to that day when we're with you forever and ever. But we ask for your strength during this time upon this earth. When discouragement does come our way, or illness, or a broken relationship, or many other things that could affect us, we thank you for giving us this symbol, the sacrament, which touches our lives, which affects us so deeply. Lord, once again, we take a moment to just say, Lord, forgive us of our sins, those sins and those things that we've done against you since we have been Christians. It's not easy for us to go through this life without sin. That's why we need you. Why we need your love and your forgiveness. Touch us today, Lord. In the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament for him, saying, "This is my blood which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me."
Hymn of Response, Be Still and Know, 343.
Thank you.
being aware of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Now may you go thinking about this sacred act, this communion, this Lord's Supper that has touched your life once again on this very day. Go proclaim the good news of the gospel. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.